COVID-19 has had many of the world's top scientists working hard to develop potential vaccines. But this week, a second trial was put on hold after negative effects on a participant. Aidan Moller with this report.
Johnson & Johnson's vaccine trial has been paused after an unexplained illness. Could this be a potential setback for the race to find a vaccine? I spoke with Paul Griffin, Associate Professor of Medicine at the University of Queensland, to find out.
We don't yet know a lot of detail around that. It seems it was paused because of a significant clinical event that incited the pausing or stopping rules, which is very common in these sort of trials to happen, particularly when there's a very large number of volunteers involved.
Would this be a significant setback for a potential vaccine to COVID?
Not at all. This is something that has already happened in a number of other vaccine trials for COVID-19 vaccines, and it is a very common occurrence in all clinical trials. And really what it's there for is to make sure that all of the volunteers are safe, that when a significant event happens, by default the trial is paused while the additional information is obtained to be able to assess this event to see if it's related and to ensure it doesn't pose any safety concerns to the other volunteers. And when that's confirmed, the trial can resume. So, as I say, a very common occurrence in clinical trials, there for safety, and it'll happen in most of the large-scale clinical trials, to be honest.
And is it too soon to know when this particular trial might be resumed?
It's hard to know. Basically, as soon as the information is obtained that ensures it's safe to resume, the trial can be resumed. And so the investigators and the associated staff will be trying to get that information as quickly as possible. Obviously, it's very dependent on the nature of the event and how clear it is that it's related or not to participating in the trial. Sometimes these can be as clearly unrelated as trauma, for example, in which case, as soon as information is obtained from the treating team, the trial can resume. Sometimes, however, it's a clinical event that can be a little bit hard to ascertain whether it's related or not, and so there may be some further investigation required, and that can take a little bit longer to do. But as I say, it really depends on the nature of the event. But typically it's not long because everyone will be working as hard as possible to get that information.
I see. And shifting over to trials that are being conducted a little bit closer to home, the vaccine here was being talked about as being available early next year. Now it's sort of been pushed back to mid next year at the earliest. Should Australians reassess when they might be able to be vaccinated?
I think we need to have a reasonable sense of optimism around that without being complacent and assuming that it's going to be available. I still genuinely believe we'll have one or maybe a few vaccines available on some kind of special use access by the first half of next year. But obviously we don't want to assume that's going to be the case. And we're certainly not going to recommend using any vaccine until we have the data to support it. Sometimes these trials can take longer to get through than we first anticipate, and so those timelines might be pushed back. But there are a number of candidates that are looking very promising in late-stage clinical trials. So I genuinely do believe we'll have one or a few vaccines that are at least moderately effective in some kind of use by the first half of next year.
The roadmap to recovery, being optimistic but at the same time being reasonable and realistic about our expectations for a vaccine. If we're talking about opening up all internal borders by Christmas, given that we're still seeing outbreaks and the vaccine is still quite far away, is it a wise thing to be relaxing these sorts of restrictions?
These pauses in these clinical trials don't significantly alter the timeline. As we saw with AstraZeneca, it was around a week, but you know, they're part and parcel of doing these sort of trials, so I don't think that in itself is altering that timeline. In terms of the roadmap and assuming we'll have a vaccine, I mean, I think we have to have contingencies that include having a vaccine available, but also one that doesn't, just so that we're not completely dependent on that. And then the final part of the question around border restrictions, I mean, I think we have to have a close look at these, and particularly in the context of some renewed messaging from the WHO around that and what our actual objective is.
Paul Griffin there, speaking about Johnson & Johnson's now paused vaccine trial. And just briefly about relaxed border restrictions. To talk more about the roadmap to recovery, I spoke with Stephen Duckett, Director of the Health Program at Grattan Institute.
The rules for reopening should be based on the actual number of cases that are in Australia. So I don't think the existence or non-existence of the vaccine really affects the rate at which we should be opening. I mean, states like Western Australia, for example, has had no cases for many months now and is fully open. So Victoria and New South Wales should be aiming for the same regardless of whether there's a vaccine.
You know, we'd ideally want to avoid further outbreaks, and Europe's second wave is a grave warning for what could possibly happen in Australia given the right conditions. Is it a good idea for state borders to be reopened by Christmas with public support growing and what we know about the vaccine?
If I were in Western Australia or Queensland or South Australia, I would not be opening the borders to New South Wales and Victoria until they too have eliminated the virus. So the states with border closures are those which have eliminated the virus, and they do not want to import it back into the state because then they have to start all over again. So the critical question is, what is the number of cases? And if there are zero cases in Victoria or New South Wales, then it'd be safe to open the border. And if there's not, it's not.
Stephen Duckett, Director of the Health Program at the Grattan Institute in Melbourne. Ending that report, by The Wire's Aidan Moller.